Please listen carefully.
Hello, world. Welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Chrissy Jansen.
And I'm Summers McKay.
We're part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of news media and the direction of your day to one focused on solutions.
6 days a week, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And now we are sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, cat-on-your-keyboard-worthy, home-office-worthy, gardening-worthy podcast. Today is Tuesday, April 7th, 2020.
And here are today's top solutions. Starting off with a story from Spain in our finance section of the Optimist Daily. Spain is on the verge of implementing a basic income program. The coronavirus has prompted governments around the world to think of ways to pandemic-proof the world. One of the main ideas gaining traction is universal basic income, also known as UBI, something we've written quite a few stories about here at the Optimist Daily. If you're not familiar with UBI, it's a system in which every citizen is guaranteed a minimum income each month, which would be enough to cover basic costs of living. Governments and nonprofits have experimented with the idea before, but no country has ever really implemented it on a countrywide scale. With times forcing people away from work, however, the government of Spain has announced that it is working to roll out a universal basic income as soon as possible as part of a battery of actions aimed at countering the impact of the coronavirus pandemic. Social Security Minister José Luis Escrivá is coordinating the project with plans to put some sort of basic income in place as soon as possible, with the main focus on assisting families. The government's broader ambition, according to Economy Minister Nadia Calviño, is that basic income becomes an instrument that stays forever and becomes a structural instrument and a permanent instrument. The Optimist Daily, we believe in the need for a system that can at least guarantee people their basic needs so they can pursue a quality of life. UBI is one of the promising systems we know of to make this happen, so we'll certainly be keeping an eye on Spain's UBI developments.
Christy, earlier today, guys, before we started recording the show, we were talking about how we have entered a new chapter for our world and stuff that didn't used to be possible is now suddenly becoming possible. And this story really highlights that. If you think about, 6 months or a year ago, nobody would think that the entire country of Spain would be considering UBI. So this is an unintended outcome of the coronavirus, and change is upon us.
Yes. And it's those cracks in the fabric of society that lets new light come in. And those are transformative moments. I don't know if this will be one of those, but the fact that this is even in the realm of possibility for an entire country is very interesting. And we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, speaking of cracks in society and change that's upon us, working remotely, how to stay virtually connected in your own terms, in our lifestyle section of the Optimist Daily. When Chuck Swoboda retired from Cree after 16 years as CEO, he realized he had a problem. He had become addicted to connectivity. He had always embraced the constant flow of communication afforded by new technologies, but was starting to realize that he didn't have control of the technology. Rather, technology was in control of him. His realization made him take the time to find a better balance between too much technology and no connectivity at all. Here are some ideas he has come up with for managing connectivity on your own terms. 1. Set aside time to unplug. Being connected is a choice, just as being disconnected is a choice. You have more control than you think you do, but you have to decide to take that control. The easiest solution is to establish times each day when you are going to unplug. Swoboda suggests making different unplug times for different reasons. For instance, establish that your sleeping time or focus time will be free of communication technology. 2, think more, react less. Despite what you may have been led to believe, you control when and how you communicate. The key to productive communication is to respond on your own terms. It's better to respond thoughtfully at a good moment rather than to respond right away. If it's through electronic messaging, realize you're not obliged to interrupt what you're doing to respond. The same is also true for phone calls. In fact, it may be better to limit your phone calls during the day. Research studies suggest that it takes 23 minutes to return your full attention to the task at hand after a notification has briefly forced you to switch tasks. And three, just stop trying to multitask. Two doctors from the Cleveland Clinic published an article that reports for nearly all people in nearly all solutions, multitasking is actually impossible. When we think we're multitasking, most often we aren't really doing two things at once, but instead individual actions in rapid succession. I think that's called switching. Swoboda says it's much better to disconnect and focus on one thing. If you want to read more, the story and tactics Swoboda put together, take a look at the Optimist Daily and you'll see this full article there.
I think this is a great reminder, Summers, especially now that I'm working from home. I'm finding it hard sometimes to disconnect from my work role and, you know, just be at my house. And it reminds me a little bit of what happened to me over my Christmas break when I was about to miss my flight and I left all of my electronics at home. And so I was disconnected for that entire week. And it was really an eye-opening experience. And it helped me relax into that time with family in ways that I probably would never have been able to if I had my computer with me or my iPad, you know.
Yeah, I think having those clear lines when you're working and when you're not allows you to be kind of better for both. We struggle with that at the Optimist Daily because we're a news organization, and so we want to be constantly available and constantly reviewing. But Christy and I, as leaders, have had to ask our team to make sure they shut off too, because otherwise you could just never shut off, which in effect also means that there are times when you're never truly on. So,
yeah, I mean, one of the things that's interesting about this current situation is for many people, they are being sort of forced to slow down in ways and reflect on these questions. And I think it's really important to keep that in mind as we go back, when we go back to having more freedom in the world again. What do we want to go back to?
Yeah.
For our next solution from the environment section of the Optimist Daily, improving soil carbon storage is a win for the planet and our food systems. Feeding a growing population on a planet with finite resources will require getting more creative and sustainable with how we operate our food systems. A new study has found that one key to protecting the future of our planet and our people is carbon sequestration in the soil. Plants pull carbon out of the air and turn it into food, wood, and soil carbon while they clean the air we breathe. This process, in combination with plant decomposition, means the world's soil holds 3 times more carbon than the atmosphere. Investing in soil carbon restoration would provide 3 billion tons of carbon emission mitigation each year and help our agricultural systems thrive. So what does this look like in terms of land management? When it comes to wetlands, it means leaving them alone. As we've discussed before, wetlands hold immense carbon stores and are an economic asset to vulnerable communities. For example, a mangrove forest can hold 10 times more carbon than a terrestrial forest. So restoring and protecting wetlands is critical for environmental and economic health as they help mitigate costly emissions. It also helps to mitigate soil erosion and coastline erosion. This is one of the things that is very interesting about mangroves. They can actually hold back hurricanes in those areas that they exist. In agricultural systems, improved carbon storage can boost soil fertility, increase water efficiency, and create an overall healthier farm and healthier food that comes from that farm. Increasing carbon storage capabilities means undoing some of the large-scale agriculture's worst habits. This means increasing crop diversity, minimizing the use of damaging chemical fertilizers, and ensuring that valuable habitats such as wetlands and rainforests are not destroyed to make room for farming. Planting cover crops, which restore soil nutrients between planting cycles and improves water efficiency, is a great strategy for improving soil carbon. If we take action, natural climate solutions implemented in forests, agricultural systems, and wetlands can produce about 30% of the climate mitigation needed by the year 2030. And Summers, this is a really interesting finding that they're actually finding that soils, if they are regenerated, this is regenerative agriculture. This is what agroforestry seeks to do. This is what getting away from monoculture crops is trying to do. And there's ways you can, through no-till techniques, using radishes and other types of cover crops to help till the soil without even machines, you can actually have a better output.
We covered this on an Optimist Daily View, didn't we? About
I did a whole section on this, and I've done a lot of research myself. Yeah, it's very interesting.
Switching back to business, how do you stress hormones to your advantage? Something I think a lot of us could use right now. When we are stressed, our body's natural response is to create stress hormones. This is the feeling you get when you enter a big interview, before you give an important speech, or have to have a difficult conversation with your boss or employees. People in high-stakes jobs, like professional athletes and emergency responders, are trained to harness these nerves into productivity and focus. So, how do these hormones work, and how can you turn them into productive energy in your own life? The two predominant stress hormones our bodies produce are adrenaline and cortisol. Adrenaline increases your heart rate, raises your blood pressure, and gives you an energy boost. It's what fuels our fight or flight instinct and gives us the ability to act at heightened capacities when we feel threatened. While that big presentation at work probably isn't causing you any physical danger, your body will still produce adrenaline as a response to the psychological stress it's causing you. The second hormone is cortisol. This suppresses non-essential bodily functions like digestive and reproductive systems and sends signals to the regions of your brain that control fear and motivation. Together, these two hormones allow you to make quicker decisions, increase productivity, and experience higher energy levels. This is why some stress is good, but too much can be harmful to your health. The key to using stress effectively is finding the sweet spot of increased motivation and focus. Here's how to train your brain to focus on the positive aspects of stress. The first technique is meditation. No big shock here, right? Purposeful breathing during meditation helps keep your heart rate and blood pressure down and allows you to stay grounded through times of stress. Second is visualization. Athletes use this technique frequently. It involves picturing yourself overcoming whatever obstacle is in your way, whether it be a big game or a challenging personal conversation. It also allows you to put the situation in perspective and realize that your stressors are likely not life or death situations. Lastly, positive self-talk goes a long way in harnessing stress. It will give you the confidence boost to effectively use your stress and reassurance that you can face any challenge that comes your way. We will all experience times of increased stress in our lives, especially these days. Our bodies and brains have evolved to meet the stress hormone responses for survival. Using techniques to harness this stress in productivity will help you better react to high-pressure situations and help you manage feelings of discomfort that come with them. It's important to be aware of your stress levels. Too much is not beneficial and can have detrimental long-term health effects. If your stress is constant or feels like it cannot be easily managed, you may need to look at a deeper root of the anxieties. But try deploying these three tactics, and let's see if it can improve your daily experience.
And Summers, this was listed in our business section because it's focused on how stress at the workplace works. But these really are the same lessons that we can all use in just stress in our normal life. All right, well, our final solution for today is from Design. These water-soluble cubes are helping hotels reduce plastic waste. When it comes to tackling the ubiquitous problem of plastic waste, the only solutions actually able to put a dent in this urgent environmental crisis are the ones that encourage reducing and reusing plastic in the first place. That's why here at the Optimist Daily, we are always happy to share these types of solutions with you. The latest that we've come across was developed by EarthSuds, an innovative new startup based in Ontario, Canada, that was recently selected by National Geographic as one of the top 10 global solutions to addressing ocean plastic waste. EarthSuds' main target is the mini toiletries found in virtually all hotels, the majority of which are sent to landfills because they are too hard to recycle. In North America alone, about 5.7 billion of such plastic items end up in landfills. And the urgency of the problem has also been introduced by the state of California, which last October introduced a new bill that would ban hotels from providing mini toiletries in plastic bottles by 2033. The problem is that a similar ban on a global scale is unlikely to take place in the near future. That's where EarthSuds' innovative solution comes in. Single-use shampoo, conditioner, and body wash cubes that could be used by the hospitality industry, as well as by people traveling or at home who wish to reduce their plastic footprint. The small cubes break down with water and pressure, giving users a foamy lather to wash their bodies and hair as usual. The cubes can be purchased in a variety of package sizes. Individuals will want larger boxes to support their own hair washing needs, while hotel and short-term rental owners can opt for smaller packs, with 3 cubes each of shampoo, conditioner, and body wash for guests to use. Special travel cases are also available because, as with all solid skincare products and cosmetics, they are TSA approved. This is a really interesting solution, Summers, and I think it has implications not just for the hotel industry, which is suffering other things as well right now, but also for places like Indonesia and India, where a lot of times people are purchasing little single-use packets, and those are usually sold in little plastic satchels, which are basically not ever recycled because they're too small and difficult to recycle. So if they could switch to this kind of these little cubes, which melt as you use them with no extra waste, that's a great idea.
One of my favorite stores that services the beauty industry is a store called Lush, and Lush does a lot of this. They sell their soap in bulk. They don't come individually wrapped. You go and you cut your section of soap or shampoo, and they just give it to you in a recyclable little teeny tiny paper bag. I love the idea of using solids instead of plastic bottles of liquids for the consumer, in addition for the hotels. I think adoption is key, and teaching people how to use these types of products is something that we just have to do over time. But as we said at the top of this podcast, stuff that previously never seemed realistic is totally available now. So maybe people will adopt using solids instead of plastic bottles of stuff. I'm feeling optimistic about it, aren't you?
I am, and I think this is it's a great idea, and it's a great thing to keep our eyes on.
Well, thank you, everybody, for listening to the Optimist Daily Update. We promise to continue to share positive solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in the changing world and ensure it is changed for good. We promise to cover the current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and offer you the information needed most to chart new paths for all of us.
And please consider becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com. And for just $5 a month, support reader-funded independent journalism. And be a part of the solution-changing consciousness and addressing our world's biggest challenges with a problem-solving mindset.
Christy, are you still doing your daily yoga?
Of course I am.
Well, is there something we shall focus on today?
Well, today's affirmation was, I am at peace with all of life.
All right, I'm going for it. I am at peace with all of life. Have a great day, everybody.
Thanks, Summers. Thanks, everybody.